Okay, today let me just have a very simple experiment to talk about the mineralization of the sediments in the wetland. And actually, this experiment was done in the Everglades. The samples were collected from Everglades. And we did the experiment in Tropical Research and Education Center. Belongs to the University of Florida down Homestead. Before we talk about the details, I just want to give a brief outline about this topic. And want to just give just very, very simple overview about Everglades and talk about the recycling of carbon in the wetlands. And also want to talk about the experiment setup and then the result and the conclusion. Just in case anybody didn't know where Florida is, this is the picture, and this is the location where I'm working. It's just Tropical Research and Education Center. And you know, the South Florida or the Homestead is just a kind of a tropical area. Any time you got a tropical storms or something, you will know where the Florida is, because on the TV they show that all the time, just like this. Anyway, Florida, actually, in the South Florida especially, Everglades is a bigger environmental concern. And Lake Okeechobee, right here, is the main water storage for the Everglades. Look at the details about the Everglades. We can see this picture. At the top is Lake Okeechobee again, and below that is agriculture area. And then three water conservation areas. So we call the natural ecosystem like this. And then Everglades National Park, and at the bottom is the Florida Bay. That's the whole ecosystem. And look at details again. This is just landscape of Everglades, and somewhere it's just a complete wetland, somewhere even pretty dry. That's why we have some tree islands like this. And what I'm talking about today is mainly involved two vegetations, those two grasses, bulrushes and sawgrass. Both of them are native plants in the natural Everglades area. We collected samples from water conservation area three, which is less impacted by the agriculture area because it's a little bit far away, and the phosphorus concentration is not as high as in water conservation area 1 and 2. And why we talk about the carbon? Actually, wetland, look at the carbon inventory, and the wetland is a big inventory in the talk about the whole the carbon storage. About 1/3 of the total global carbon is stored in wetland. And the carbon in the wetland is relatively stable, as everybody knows. And the carbon accumulation basically is based on the water the water level and soil fertility and the vegetation types and the growth rates. And the decomposition rate actually depends on water and depends on temperature. But wetland basically is not completely wetland. Sometimes it depends on the year. Sometimes it's pretty dry. That's why the temperature and the water content can just affect the mineralization of the sediment. So we talk about the carbon inventory. Look at this chart. It's the wetland. It's a pretty large amount of carbon stored in the wetland compared to the other inventories. And this is just the carbon cycling in the wetland. When you talk about the wetland, most of the time it's just an anaerobic condition. And so the plants just some debris and just through the bacteria get the mineralized the debris and become CO2 and some of the methane. I'm sorry about it. This four is here. It's just that methane anyway. Look at a little bit details on this chart. We can see either at the eutrophication level or condition, or at the poor nutrient condition. In both conditions, and CO2 is the main product, and methane is also. So that's the simply the carbon cycling patterns in the wetland. And the hypothesis is that sediment mineralization was dependent on vegetation type and the temperature at the same conditions, I mean, other same conditions. That's the hypothesis for this experiment. And the experiment set up, we collect the intact sediment columns from the wetland in the two vegetation areas, and keep those columns in the growth chambers so we can adjust the temperatures and other conditions. And with three temperatures, 30, 25, and 20, and carbon emission and nutrient mineralization, we just monitored that. For carbon, we use a trapping method, just trap the carbon dioxide. And the total experiment is about 380 days over a year. This is the way we collect the sediment. We use a polycarbonate tube, which is about 60 centimeters long, and I believe 7 centimeters in diameter. And then we put it in the growth chambers. Before that, we use this way. We use the Ziploc bag, I just sealed that. We just collect samples. We just zip up, and we just inside we have a vial which contains sodium hydroxide to trap the carbon dioxide. At the bottom, we install the soil solution sampler like this, and use a syringe to collect the soil solution. And to adjust the soil moisture, we just use the weight. Just wait with the tube and get the weight and adjust the water content. Here is just a slice of the samples we want to analyze the carbon and in different areas, in different layers, sorry. And after we collect the samples, we use those equipment to analyze. This is for carbon dioxide. And this one is just AQ2. We use it for ammonium and nitrate. For phosphorus, because the concentration is pretty low, we have to use AA3. So the detector limit for AA3 is 2 parts per billion. The other instrument cannot get that low. And then we talk about the major results. Turnover of sediment, carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus. And then we talk about the sediment mineralization versus vegetation types. And then we talk about the temperature. Look at this chart, actually, in both vegetation types got the same pattern. At the beginning, this the mineralization rate is pretty high and decreased. Just like this, the x-axis is the date, and the y-axis is just carbon, dioxide carbon. And we look at the cumulative carbon for both vegetations, and look at like this. Salt grass is a little bit high, and ferrous below that, but both of them have the same pattern. And those are the carbon accumulation can be simulated by this kind of growth model. It's like a exponential growth model, which has a pretty good correlation for both of them. And look at the temperature effect. And at the For salt grass, actually, only the low temperature, 20 degrees, is significantly lower than 30 or 20 degrees. But for bulrush, those three of them are significantly different. 30 degrees is definitely higher than the others. And we look at the nutrients, nitrogen, and this is nitrate nitrogen and ammonium nitrogen. For nitrate nitrogen, at the beginning, before about 100 days, it's pretty low, then just sharply increased like this. And ammonium nitrogen, it's a little bit complicated because we've got some outer layers. But it's just the other way around, just decreased like this. Then we talk about the cumulative nitrogen, and it's the same pattern actually. At the beginning, it's pretty low, and it just increased dramatically for both vegetation types. And for the ammonium nitrogen, actually the bulrush is greater than the sawgrass, but both of them still follow the same pattern with the time. Phosphorus is a little bit more complicated. It's just both of them are just like very, very low. And some of them got the outer layers. We still don't know what happened with this. But definitely the phosphorus is really low from there. And the cumulative phosphorus is also not follow the exactly what we expected, just like this. And sometimes just for bulrush, at the beginning very low and it jumped up that much. And sawgrass is very low all the time until 250 days and jumped up too. Those two, maybe two outer layers or something. We still don't know. But we have three replicates. We got the same. That kind of data, anyway. And talk about the impact by the temperature for nitrogen and phosphorus. This actually for sawgrass, 25 degrees is greater than the other two, either high or low. And for bulrush, and on 30 degrees, even lower than low temperatures. And for the ammonium nitrogen, it looks like this. Even very low, we still get a significant difference because we use the same scale for both charts. And 30 degrees is higher than the other two temperatures. And bulrush is only at the 25 degrees is significantly lower than the other two temperatures. And talk about the phosphorus, we got these charts, and it's no significant difference for sawgrass, but the high temperature increase phosphorus mineralization. So we simply concluded that the turnover of organic carbon was rapid in the first 100 days, and the cumulative amount of carbon is followed the exponential growth model. Nitrogen turnover was low at the beginning and then sharply increased. Phosphorus is kind of a mess because the concentration is very low. Sawgrass had a great turnover than the bulrush carbon. The high temperature improved the organic carbon and the ammonium nitrogen for both types. And turnover nitrate was greater at 25 degrees. And but the factors to control the turnover of the mineralization is not quite clear. Mycelium ratio maybe is a kind of reason for that. But the mycelium ratio is not much difference for both of them. That's it. Thank you very much.
Time for one quick question.
What do you think it was at 100 days that made made that change? Why did you suddenly see the nitrate take off at 100 days?
100 days, I think maybe because we set up temperature at the beginning and just the condition has been changed compared to the original environment for those sediments. Maybe that's a kind of a reason. Because it's at the original condition is anaerobic, and then we just move to the growth chamber, it's aerobic condition. Maybe that's what kind of a reason. Growth chamber, we maintain the moisture at the 80, it's a kind of aerobic condition, not an anaerobic condition. That's what happened, yeah. Thank you very much again.